You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in. All right, we're back for episode 2, and I just have a question. I was wondering if anybody else gets anxiety from a big to-do list, because I struggled with that for so long. I would make the longest to-do list every day, and that was a really bad idea, because having that long list, to-do list that I would have on my desk each day, would really just create anxiety, overwhelm, and it actually fueled procrastination in me. So today we're going to talk about the idea of how can we hack productivity? How can we be more efficient? How can we maintain this work-life balance, you know, be able to set up systems in our business, keep us organized, get everything done that we need to get done without feeling the stress and anxiety and overwhelm?
Yeah, I think this is such a big deal. How many times have you heard someone say, "Oh, I'm just too busy. I can't do it." Lots of people are busy, but not everyone's productive. Lots of people are busy. Some are productive, but they're not efficient. Like, they're wasting lots of time. And in order to improve yourself in the most efficient way possible, it's more important than just to be busy. Like, we have to make the most of our time and actually be productive. And that way we can not only finish the task at hand, but we have more time for other things, either more steps in our business, more growth, or more time with your family or more personal time. Like, this is important. And I think part of the reason why this is such a big deal is everyone's used to an 8-hour work day in our society. And if you watch the people at your work, your coworkers, and even yourself, how much time do you spend on your phone? How many times do you spend playing games or hanging around the water cooler? Like, people are always quick to throw out that they're busy, but they're not making the most of their time in the majority of cases.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I want to do a whole episode one day on human design, but as a projector, but just in general, my personality, right, is I cannot work an 8-hour workday. I prefer like a 4-hour workday. So I really need to be productive and efficient. And we're going to go into that in this episode. We're going to give you all the ways you can do that, because truly, we don't want to be productive just for the sake of being more productive and getting, you know, 10,000 things done in a day and having no time for your family or fun or relaxing. The point is so that you can still hit, you know, your financial goals. You can still do the type of things you want to do, create, bring impact in the world and create amazing things, but not let that fill up your whole day and constantly feel like you're working until the late hours of the night. So let's get started here. One of the top things, right, for productivity is you have to start with organization. So organization is critical for you to be able to stay productive and be able to have the time freedom that you need to be able to enjoy your life while also building your business. I have 3 things that I use daily to stay organized. So the first one is Google Calendar, right? Very basic, but I color code my Google Calendar. I time block on there, and I make a point to really write out every task, every meeting, every reminder, you know, with the time reminders on it so that I'm constantly getting alerted. And I just formed the habit to check my Google Calendar all day long. I have the app on my phone. So that's my first way to stay organized.
Yeah, I also use Google Calendar, not near to the extent that you do, but I find it very helpful that they have the option to share your calendar with other people. So there's many times where I may have some extra time during the day or I finish early. And a lot of times I'll check your Google Calendar to kind of see what your schedule is looking like to plan out my day, because obviously my schedule is not near as concise and as pretty as yours is. But I use that to my advantage because I can see what you have planned and I can decide, well, am I going to have space for in the studio to record, or does she have an upcoming call or telehealth or something where she needs the space right now? Because right now we're kind of in cramped quarters where our desks are across from each other. Hopefully that will change soon. But it's definitely important to coordinate our schedules so we can both be productive and we're not just coming home or going to our office and then not able to do what we expect to do. So I find that part very helpful.
Exactly. We have to coordinate, because I'm someone that my day looks different every day because I want it to. I enjoy that. So I might start my morning some days with a long walk, or I might start with journaling, or I might just get started into work because I have a client call in the morning. So every day looks different. So I've got to put it on my calendar so that I remember. And it helps with Aaron because he works a full-time job as a physician assistant. He goes off to his job. And then when he comes home, he can see, you know, what else is going on? What have I planned for the night, or what gaps do we have? And we can coordinate with each other. So super important. The second thing that I use daily is Gmail, but specifically what I like to do, how this relates to organization is because I really hyper organize my emails into folders, and I use emails a lot. I mean, whether it's connected with Google Drive and I'm creating documents or people are sharing documents with me, I can save those emails into folders. And I just get so many emails every day. I sign up for a lot of different freebie offers, but I also have coaches that I work with. I have my clients. I have a million different emails coming in all the time, and I don't want those to get lost, right? You have to stay organized. And with Gmail, there's so many options. You can snooze your emails. You can label them, of course. Like I said, I buy everything with my business online practically, and I always get an email receipt and I can label that. So everything is super well organized with email. Folders are the way to go.
I think there are two types of people out in the world. Those who go through every single email they get, either delete them or organize them in some kind of system like you do. How many folders do you have in your email right now? Do you know?
Over 100. For sure.
I've seen her organization system in Gmail, and it's incredible. In fact, when we first started this podcast and started going off on our own in our own businesses, I asked her to sit down with me one time and show me how she actually organizes everything within her email, because it's good. She asked me one time, like, oh, I sent this to you like a week or a month ago, and like, what'd you do with it? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
In fact, I just opened up my email right now. I have 8,560 unopened emails in my inbox.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so this... I feel like there's two types of people. One like you who organizes everything, and I'm aspiring to become that as well in my own business. But with the amount of like subscriptions that people have nowadays, you'll get emails from a thing you might use once or twice a year, but they send out an email every week. And so over time, my inbox has just become overly cluttered. And
yeah, I just check email. I don't even have to check it every day, but I'll check it enough that I can delete what I don't, you know, open, check it real quick, delete what I don't care about, and then organize anything else. If I'm trying to learn, you know, improve email marketing, or if I'm trying to learn more in my own industry with intuitive eating, I'm subscribed to so many different things. And if it's a email with value, I definitely want to save it for later. So it's so helpful. And I have to shout out a former boss that I had with a local marketing company here. And she's the one who really sat down. She does this for her business. She's very well organized, and she helped me to become organized. And I know there's tons of tutorials out there. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, you can do that. It's life changing for sure to organize your email so that you can refer back to that. But let's talk about the third thing that I use daily that you're actually using.
Yeah. So one thing I started using this year is an app called Notion. I had learned about this from a YouTuber, Ali Abdaal. I believe he had learned from it from Frank Thomas. If you ever look on YouTube, both of those are proponents of Notion. So Notion is a note-taking app. I had never really used one before. I had tried to use Evernote in the past, but I didn't really get in the hang of it. It was very rigid. You could only put notes in certain ways. But as I started looking at Notion and how Ali uses it, like there's a bunch of different templates you can use. They have templates from everything. Like there's a content calendar for creators. So we use it for our podcast to show upcoming episodes, where at in the process we are at, meaning we may have recorded one podcast and it's in one section of this template, maybe in the editing phase or post-production phase, basically somewhere where we're editing the sound, we're checking the content, making sure that we like what we like. Whereas in another part of the content calendar, we have ideas for upcoming podcasts, or even one that we just filmed, but is not to the editing phase yet. Like it's very useful for keeping track of things, making sure we're looking at the priorities, meaning if we have a deadline for one podcast coming up in like 2 or 3 days, I know my first priority is to get that one done before working on the other ones. So Notion is very helpful and the fluidity of the whole program. Basically, the program works in content blocks. Like I said, you have different templates. The content calendar is a big one I use. There's a template for taking notes, and I find this useful for if you want to take notes on reading books, or for me personally, I watch a lot of YouTube videos on how to do things, a lot of technical stuff. So I take notes while I'm watching these videos that I can come back and look at later. I know students who use it going through med school, PA school, to kind of keep their thoughts together and you know, make sure they study all the content they need to for their upcoming test and stay on top of things, basically.
Yeah. So just like Trello or Evernote, we use Notion. I feel like this is the best all-in-one solution that I have found, because I actually used Trello before this, but I still would kind of organize my notes in so many different places. I would have reminders on my phone, and I would create templates on Google Docs. The thing that I really like about Notion is that it feels like a Google Doc and Trello. It's insane the amount of ways that you can format in here. So the way that I like to use Notion, I use it for absolutely everything nowadays. It's the first Gantt chart I've ever liked. If you know what a Gantt chart is, and you can see, you know, you can organize your task and you can see the timeline, you can see each thing that's due. So they have a very visually appealing Gantt chart on here. So I have that to look, you know, each day I check on that. I have my end of 2020 planning, and that's where my tasks are for basically the rest of December that I look at, since we're in December right now. Then I have another section here for 2021 planning, and I can organize all of my goals in there. I have a section for a content calendar as well, and I like to break my content into content pillars. So I have specific categories or topics, and then under those, I will put in all my ideas. I have a note-taking section for a podcast, and we're looking at our podcast notes here while using Notion. And then I've got, you know, different affirmations, manifestation, and I also do my lead tracking in here so I can organize any leads that I have, all their information. And I'm working on a really big project for an intuitive eating 12-month program, and I'm taking all the notes in here. I mean, it's insane. This solution is, to me, it's like Google Docs and Trello, like I said, and any other system you can think of, any type of notes you need to take or information you need to save or things you need to plan, ways to stay organized. It's really powerful. So we really are loving Notion.
One other way I use Notion is through the concept of having a second brain. So the concept of a second brain is basically that your mind is for, or your brain is for having ideas and not for storing them. You ever read a book and 2 or 3 years later, you can't remember the book, but you know it had some important information that you need now? This happened to me recently. I had read a financial book back in PA school a few years ago, and it had some very technical things that I wanted to apply to our life now, because we're in a different place, we're making money. You know, I wanted to make some financial moves, some investments, and I could not remember what the book said. So I had to go find the book, reread the entire book again to find the section that I was really interested in. Well, now I use Notion to help take notes on books and videos as I watch them. So then later on, if there's a piece of information that I was like, I remember I learned this, but I don't remember exactly what it was, I can just go in, do the quick find. And the quick find will search through every note that we have, and I can quickly find the information. So it saved me hours of time, because I'm not having to go back through, find the exact book or the exact video where I learned this special technique, and then watch the entire video. Oops, that was the wrong video. Now I gotta go find a different video. and like, instead of doing that over and over and over again, until you use this information several times and actually learned and have it ingrained in your mind, it's good to have this second brain to where you can quickly look up this information, find it, and keep going. It makes it so much more effective and productive.
And you're looking up the information because you're taking notes as you're learning.
Yes, in Notion. Yeah. That's what the quick find feature is for.
Yeah. So you have to actually write it down and take the notes in order to be able to find it. But we've gotten in the habit of doing that. So instead of just reading books or watching, you know, we spend so much time taking courses or watching tutorials or videos or reading books and everything. And that's great. But if something stands out to you in the book, then you have a place where you can write that down so you can refer to it later, because you want to be able to teach the concepts you're learning, and you also want to credit, you know, who you're learning it from. So that's another way that we use Notion. So awesome. All right. So far, we've talked about the ways we stay organized, and that was part of it. So now let's move into another way that we can hack productivity is by really learning and working out of our zone of genius. So working from your zone of genius helps you to focus on what's going to give you the best results, what work that you specifically should be doing, because when you're working out of your zone of genius, you're going to be able to get things done better. If you're working out of your zone of genius, that's where you're going to have a lot more struggle and you're going to be wasting a lot of time. The rest, you know, things that aren't in your zone of genius, that's where you can really be smart and start to outsource that, which we're going to talk about. The concept of the zone of genius was introduced by the author of the book, The Big Leap, Gay Hendricks. And so I'm just going to give a quick rundown on that. The Big Leap, the zone of genius, basically means you have four quadrants, right? And the quadrants are going increasing by time and increasing by talent. So basically using the best use of your time or the best use of your talent. So whatever's going to be low is not the best use of your time or talent. So the worst zone is the zone of incompetence. This is going to waste your time and waste your talent if you're stuck in the zone of incompetence. That's where others can do, you know, whatever the tasks are better than you can. You're basically incompetent in this type of task. So for me, you know, a zone of incompetence would probably be coding. I don't know coding whatsoever. So if I'm going to sit here and try to code a website or something, it's going to waste so much of my time and I don't have any talent in it. Next is the zone of competence. So this is where we're getting a better use of talent. We have competence, but we're still not making the best use of our time. So the zone of competence is things that you can do just as well as others, right? You're competent in it. You're basically average. So you can do pretty well in there. Next, we have the zone of excellence. And this is a good zone. This is a zone that a lot of people work out of. And this is going to be a better use of your time because, you know, you have a lot of competence in that. You're excellent at it. But it might not be the absolute best use of your talent. So the zone of excellence is things that you can do extremely well and you can make a great living doing this, right? Like for me, my zone of excellence, I'm a registered dietitian. I could go and get a job at a hospital like any other dietitians, and that's my zone of excellence. But is that really the best use, you know, of my time and talent? If depending on what job I pick, probably not. There's something even better I can do, right? And then that's where we get to your zone of genius. These are the set of activities that you're uniquely suited to do. They draw upon your special gifts and strengths. And that's where you're going to use the best use of your talent, your time, and where you can have the most success and make the most money. So it's so important to find that.
Yeah, so it was hard listening to that because if you can't see like the visual chart, sometimes it can be hard. So I'm going to kind of go over it very quickly. The zone of incompetence is what you can do, but other people can do much better than you. That's incompetence. Competence is you can do, but other people are just as good as doing it for you. Like you don't separate yourself from other people. Zone of excellence. Now, this is where you start rising above other people. You are very good at this, but it may not be super unique to you. I mean, it may not be a passion of yours. You're good at it and you're better than other people, but there's one step above that, which is your zone of genius. And this is what you're uniquely suited to do. Maybe it's your passion inside your zone of excellence. So an example of you, actually, you know what? Let's go with me.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a PA, so I would say that's my zone of excellence. My zone of genius is in orthopedics and joint replacement. That's a very sub-specialized category. It's not only a subspecialty of physician assistants in medicine, but it's actually a subspecialty within orthopedics itself. So orthopedics is bones, muscles, joints. You have your spine doctors, you have your sports medicine doctors. And I've been in sports medicine. Now I'm in joint replacement. So even if you go to an orthopedic doctor, you may not see a joint replacement doctor. Like it's even more specialized. And that's my personal zone of genius. So not only am I good at it, I'm passionate at it. And that's what I love. And that's kind of what I thrive in, that environment.
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level?
Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleya. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this: your own branded affirmation cards beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success. Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your client's personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleya's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleya. Visit our website today at soleya.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleya.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you. soulea.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation one affirmation at a time.
Yes. And for another quick example for me, with the zone of excellence, I could just be a dietitian and get whatever job, but feel trapped or feel like it's not using all my gifts or my passion, right? So we don't want to stay in the zone of excellence. Just because we're really great at it doesn't mean that we have to stay there. We want to find what we're great at, but we also have a passion for. So my zone of genius that I really enjoy is a specialty as well, intuitive eating, but rather than just the one-on-one, I really enjoy the one-on-one counseling, and I also enjoy teaching. So I enjoy creating courses and podcasts. That would be my zone of genius. If I have to just work in a hospital and have 15 minutes with someone, you know, giving the information that the hospital wants me to give and not what my zone of genius is, then I can do it and I can be excellent at it, but it's not going to be my passion and it's really not going to be the best use of my time and talent.
Yeah, interestingly, I have seen this in a different format presented a different way in the past. I wish I could remember who kind of came up with this concept that I heard before. I don't know if it was like a Tony Robbins type deal or someone else.
Huh? Probably.
Oh, probably. Yeah. But I remember I had heard something. This was years ago, long before I believe the Zone of Genius came out.
This was 2009.
Well, I know this was a long time ago. I had heard someone, they had mentioned that you have different categories, you have different areas that you excel in. Their idea was that you should focus on the thing that you're best at, like the thing that you're passionate about and you're best at. Because let's say the way that they described it, you're on a scale of 1 to 10. 1, you're not very good at, you're incompetent at, other people do it so much better than you. And their idea was that, let's say your zone of excellence basically is you're a 7 out of 10. Their idea was that at most you can improve 2 points. So instead of improving and working on your zone of incompetence, like this area that you're not very good at, the most you can do in that is go from incompetence to competence. Like, it's much better to take that zone that you're really good at, this field, this subspecialty, whatever it is, take what you're really good at, pour time into it, learn even more concepts, and take that to the zone of genius. Basically, you can go from a 7 out of 10 in skill and in productivity to a 9 out of 10. And then that really sets you apart from everyone else in the field doing that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's basically the same concept here as well. And another way to look at the zone of genius, when they talk about the set of activities you're uniquely suited to do, that's where we see the most successful entrepreneurs stand out and they're so unique, and they're creating their own frameworks based on their own life experience, their own talents, their own passion. So you need to figure out, you have more than one talent, but you might not be aware because you're just doing what you should do or what you're good at and you can get away with in the zone of excellence, maybe working a 9-to-5 for someone else. But in the zone of genius, that's where you have the opportunity to truly use every single unique gift and your personality and your strengths to really form the best outcome for you. And that's what we all want to strive toward, right? Is the zone of genius. That is that ultimate pinnacle that we can all get to. And it takes expertise, right? It takes working on something, but it also takes those unique strengths. It's finding what you intuitively and innately already have the talent for as well. Okay, so another thing regarding this zone of genius idea, we actually took a really fun quiz by Amanda Bushy. She is a conscious leadership entrepreneur. I love her. She has really great content. And she created an entrepreneurial archetype quiz. And we took this. And I think it really helps with this idea of zone of genius because, you know, you can hear that concept and then still struggle like, well, I don't really understand what my gifts and talents are.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with us. Melissa came to me one day and she was like, oh my gosh, I took this archetype quiz and my zone of genius is this. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he didn't know the concept of zone of genius. And I knew it, but I still kind of like, okay, I guess I'll figure that out one day. But I'm like, once I took this quiz, I'm like, okay, this is it. That makes sense.
Yeah. So she came at me and I was like, she's like, what is your zone of genius? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I need more information.
Take the quiz.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. We took this quiz, on Amanda's website. I don't want to mess up her last name. So let's go over our results real quick, because I came into this not knowing much about what this was or what my zone of genius was. After seeing this, I had a better idea and was able to work down more like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I can see what I'm strong at.
And let's go over our results. But just to let you guys know, there are 4 different types that you can be. So we're going to share what we are, but you could either be a teacher, a creator, an entrepreneur, or a coach. So go ahead and share your result that you got from the quiz.
Yeah. So after taking the free quiz, I was awarded the entrepreneur, which is kind of funny. But after reading kind of the details and the results of it, I completely understand it. So the entrepreneur says, I'm here to challenge the status quo, innovate, solve problems, and create systems to ensure efficacy, efficiency, and change. There's so much information here. Like, she breaks it down even further into different subcategories, like different types of entrepreneurs. And obviously there's one here that I resonate with more than others. But she goes even further. She writes out possible strengths that you have. So for me, like, one of them is big picture awareness. I've always been this my whole life. Like, I don't get bogged down by the minute details of projects. I'm like, okay, and for this whole project to work, we need to work on this, this, and this. And this is the highest priority to get this done. Whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, making media, we can spend hours just picking out music or hours picking out these tiny little details that, yes, they're important. But if you pick this one versus this one, in the end, it's not a huge deal. Like, it's more important to get the project together, get it finished, and just pick one of the musics.
Because that's your strength. I see the entrepreneur as like a really good manager. It's like a project manager. I mean, you're able to really understand, okay, we need all this done. We have this deadline. This is the goal. And you can keep on track with that. And you can set that in motion and the systems and everything you need. So the entrepreneur type is really good at that leadership role.
I'm looking at the website and she has an entrepreneur bingo and it's hilarious. So the first one I saw was ambitious. And then right below it is health freak. And I've definitely had bouts of those throughout my life, like on and off. We'll get on a very healthy kick and we'll be working out every day for months at a time. And then eventually it'll wear off. So it's just kind of funny, like once you get into this information, and hopefully you guys go and take the quiz yourself and kind of see what we're talking about, because she has so much good information on here. I really started noticing things about myself that now that I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I've done that my whole life, but I never really thought about it.
Yeah, because when you take the quiz, you're answering personally. And so that's how you find your intuitive, your innate gifts and talents and like, oh yeah, I like this, or I do things this way. This is what I'm good at. And then that's where you're going to get your response. I also like how out of these four categories, entrepreneur, teacher, creator, coach, you're understanding, you know, what's going to be your strength, what's going to be good. And we're going to talk about, okay, so the things you're not so great at, what can you do? But it's very interesting too. They have the masculine versus feminine archetypes, and entrepreneur, Aaron falls under the masculine, Mindfund falls under the feminine. And this isn't to say, I mean, you can definitely have a woman fall under a masculine type. It's not about that. It's just about the energy with it, right? We all have feminine and masculine energy and types within us, but one might be more prominent. And it's being able to lean into that, not forcing yourself to be something that you're not, right? The masculine type is going to be practical, grounded, leadership, stamina, quantitative, structure, linear, patience, routine, discipline. These are all things that are hard for me. It doesn't come innate with me. Mine is more play, ease, creative, fluidity, nurturing, surrender, qualitative, receiving, purpose. This is why I love manifestation and everything so much too. It's so easy, the flow of it, right?
I think you'll find this funny. One of my unhealthy expressions is prioritizes success over humanity.
Over, oh my gosh. That's if it's unhealthy, right? We can all have a shadow side or an unhealthy side and a higher, high vibration side, right? So we don't want to fall into the trap. If we're noticing like we're getting more on the unhealthy side, that's where we're like, oh no, like I need to do some inner work, some healing, because we don't want to be on those lower expressions. But it's interesting. So it helps you not force yourself, because I like seeing this and seeing that I'm in the feminine type, because when I am acting in that place, when I am having more play, more ease, more creativity, and I'm living my life and forming it that way more, I see better results. If I really get in that place where I have to be ultra disciplined and ultra about execution and routine, don't get me wrong, organization's important. I set up my life, but there's sometimes where I switch things around on my calendar. I don't like routine. You know, I really need to play into what feels good for me. And for Aaron, what feels good for him is keeping things more disciplined and routine, because that falls under his archetype. So he shared his, I'm going to share mine from the quiz. I got the creator. I am a coach, and it says coaching, it helps you create better content. Teaching, it's a creative process to develop the curriculum. Business, it activates all creative cylinders. And I do enjoy this. It says creating social media content, podcasts, courses, landing pages. That's what I enjoy. And I do a lot of that. And I will get lost in the creation, and I will spend hours trying to pick the perfect font and stuff, right? So it's like you thrive having an extremely well-branded and put together podcast or Instagram account, which that is the type of stuff that I enjoy. And I like learning. I like being able to take what I learn and be a coach. So when he was talking about the subcategories, we can have more than one of these, right? We can be the entrepreneur and the coach. We can be the creator and the teacher, but it looks a little bit different for everyone. And you want to lead with your strength. You want to lead with what your top result is, right? So I'm mostly a creator. That's my zone of genius, but I can still make money and work as a coach or as a teacher as well. And so we really enjoy this quiz. It talks about ideas for the best way you can create products and content and marketing, like what will work best for your strengths. So let's think about that, right? Think about, I encourage everyone to take this quiz, entrepreneurialarchetype.com, and see what your results are. And then now when you can see, okay, if this is what I enjoy, if this is what I intuitively am good at, how can I still get done? A business requires all of it, right? And that's where we're always encouraged in business to find our opposite. And what's great about with our podcast, Aaron and I are the direct opposites. So I can help with the branding and the creative process and ideas, and he can help with the execution. He's doing the sound engineering. He's doing things we need to get done and keeping us on track. So it's helpful to do that. And what can you do? That brings us to our next point of productivity and efficiency, is you have to get good at outsourcing and delegating, because we can't do it all. And when you see the zone of genius, there is no reason for us to do it all. We need to find that work that is our zone of genius, and we need to stay in that. That's what we need to show up for and do. Everything else, the way we can grow our business, we need to get smart about learning how to outsource and delegate for that. So I have some examples for that. So I'll share mine, and then I'll let Aaron share his if he has any. For what I've been doing to outsource and delegate this year is, well, what we've done in the past is outsource and delegated cleaning. Right now, we're both kind of sharing that responsibility, but you can always hire a cleaner. And for meals, right, we like to order HelloFresh. It kind of helps save the time with the procuring process, thinking about the recipe, going to the grocery store, buying the recipe. It just saves time.
Yeah, we originally started out with HelloFresh, and it's a great service. But there's also other options out there that we also use sometimes in place of HelloFresh, sometimes alongside it to kind of supplement it.
Yeah.
I know Walmart is also doing a grocery delivery now. We've had some hit or miss with that. Sometimes they're great, and sometimes they're out of stock of things for weeks on end.
Oh my gosh, they always substitute stuff. They drive me crazy, but yeah. It still helps, I guess.
It's still good. I mean, think about the time we're saving driving to the store, walking around, grabbing everything ourselves, and coming back, even for like some of the smaller ingredients that they may be out of stock with, or they substitute.
It helps you save time. Everything to save time.
It definitely does.
Yeah. So it's so important, right? If you're so frustrated, if you're like, I can't ever do anything in my business because I feel like I'm constantly cleaning, I'm constantly worrying about food and cooking. If that keeps happening, then find ways you can improve that. Another thing I do is I get students always wanting to volunteer and work with me on projects. And I make sure, you know, to work with their schedule, see what they actually want to do. But it helps so much. I mean, them helping with stories or post or research for a topic, it helps immensely. So maybe there's students out there who want to volunteer.
Yeah, and it's also very helpful for them because they see one of the dietitians they're able to work with you who isn't taking the cookie cutter path of working directly into the hospital. Because in their rotations, all of them, they go through rotations through hospitals, and the majority of jobs for dietitians out there are hospital based. There are a few clinical practice and private practice, but not very many work or have the opportunity to work with a dietitian who's running their own business, who started themselves and is growing it. So
it's like mentoring. I volunteered so much. It's insane. In undergrad and in grad school, I was volunteering all the time, but I liked getting the shorter projects, right? That's what I don't like about internships for dietitians. They're not paid and it's like a job. I mean, you're going so many hours every week. I think that's a little ridiculous. But if you volunteer for someone, you can just volunteer for like a project like once, you know, and I keep it really open and fluid like that. I let them, because they're not getting paid, they can do whatever they want. But I also hire people, right? So you have students that might come to you and say that they want to help you with a project. And then another way to outsource and delegate is you need to start hiring people for the things that aren't getting done. Like for me, I want to build my email list and I want to use my email strategically. I created a 3-day challenge and I want to help people get a taste of what it's like to become an intuitive eater, what it's like to work with me and my style by doing this challenge. But I just kept coming up against a wall because I was like, I went with the email company that everyone recommends, ActiveCampaign. And I'm big on creativity and visuals and everything. I was just struggling. I'm like, I can't get it to look how I want. I don't know if it's too wordy. I'm not a copywriter. I want this to be the best that it can be. So I'm proud to promote it everywhere, right? So I'm like, you know what? Instead of just putting this off over and over again because it's become something that is driving me crazy and I don't feel like it's my zone of genius and I am having some type of resistance to it. And it's just becoming weeks and months now of putting it off. I hired someone. I went on Facebook groups and I looked through, you know, I just took one day and I looked through so many people who's saying they help with email marketing. And I just looked through their portfolios and their websites. And then I found one that I liked and then I hired her. So I booked her for a VIP package to take over my email for me. So that's the type of stuff you need to do. If there's something that you know you want to do in your business, you know that it can have a good return on investment, but you're just having resistance with it, that's where it's important to start outsourcing and delegating.
Yeah. So this is obviously secondary to creating your business. At first, when you create a business, you know, the income may be low. So these are not things you start out with on day one. Typically, yeah. You can for some things, especially if you have a good income and cash flow.
Yeah.
But like for me, one thing I plan to do in the future, once, you know, the YouTube channels and media channels start making money is two things. One is hire an editor, because right now I spend a lot of time, hours every week editing podcasts, editing videos, putting things together. And so I don't have the income right now unless I fund it myself.
Well, you just started. Yeah. I mean, this is the beginning. Aaron's just starting. He's a full-time physician assistant. I've been in business for almost 2 years now as a coach. And so I've already built income in my business, but it's awesome. I mean, he's hitting the ground running and he's already understanding and planning to outsource as soon as he can.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, could I make more money myself if I kept that money for myself and kept doing it myself? Yes.
No, because...
Well, technically, yes, but long term, you're spending a lot more time. You're not able to put out as much content because instead of focusing your creative efforts on the actual zone of genius, the part that you're good at creating the business, that's the only thing. Like, my editor can't create my content. They can't record video for me. They can help me put it together and they can help it look good, but they can't actually come up with the actual content that I'm making. So it's better for me to use my time on that than it is for me to edit. Whereas, you know, an editor does this every day. I do it, you know, once or twice a week and I just started and they've been doing it for years.
Yeah, so you have to reinvest in your business if you want it to actually do well and to grow. And that's how you get more clients or more of an audience or whatever it is. So it's so important to understand that concept. And sometimes people will invest. I mean, there's so many ways you can invest up front. You can hire a coach. I think that's a good investment, but also hiring these experts, hiring assistants, hiring virtual assistants and help, you know, as soon as you have the money and or you want to invest it and you're thinking about how can I invest into my business rather than investing in silly things that might not make that much of a difference, right? You could spend thousands on certain little things like marketing or logos. I don't know. I've seen crazy things like, let me buy a bunch of free pens to give away. Like, how is that really going to help your business, right? Put your money where it's actually going to help, which is having a good team, having people that are helping you be efficient and help you to build what you're trying to create. And also investing in a coach is a good investment as well. But think about the way you're spending money and how you're marketing, where you're putting your money. So we really believe in outsourcing and delegating. So I think that kind of wraps up this talk. So just to remind you guys of the points, right? We talked about the first tip with stressing less and being productive is staying organized. So we talked about the top ways that we stay organized. Also, we talked about the zone of genius and the quiz that we showed you guys, the book, The Big Leap, you can read. But figuring out your zone of genius is going to help you be productive. You're going to stop wasting your time and your talent on things that aren't going to get you where you want to be. So you need to figure out what your zone of genius is. That is going to truly help you to be more productive, get where you want to go. The last thing was outsourcing and delegating, and it can be small things. So right now, if especially the moms out there, right? If you feel overwhelmed and you feel like I'm always cleaning, I'm always watching the kid, I'm always doing this, I'm always doing that, and I'm trying to build the business, you really need to figure out how can I outsource? How can I delegate? How can I ask the people in my life to help me with cleaning, with certain tasks, and then figuring out other things, right? If you have a little bit more of disposable income, why are you wasting your time on these things, right? Go ahead and hire people. So there's so many ways that you can outsource and delegate. It is going to help save your time so that you can continue to show up and focus on your zone of genius and not waste your own time and be held back by doing all these other tasks that are not your zone of genius or that are time wasters. So in closing, basically hacking productivity, everything is about helping you to have more time freedom in your life and stress less. I'm a big proponent of that. Work smarter, not harder. So we're not trying to make your life revolve around being so productive and constantly working. It's about being efficient. You can chase your goals, but you got to be smart. Working smarter is staying organized, setting systems, and delegating. This is going to prevent stress and burnout. And it's going to allow you to build the business of your dreams, but also taking care of yourself along the way, prioritizing your health, your well-being, making fun memories, connecting with people. Go out and live your life right? You want to be able to get to that place. And the way you do that is by taking care of these areas. If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe.
Do you know these three things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just gonna make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work, the last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed beautiful cards to help you address all three of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck Affirmation Cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck Affirmation Cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.